Oh, did you ne'er hear of a jolly young trilobite that lived in Siluria once on a time, and some years ago turned to stone in a cursed fright, and forgot all the deeds done in his clime? But, hardened and horny, his tail no more wags, for he now lies entombed in the Lingula flags. It's the first verse of a poem written in tribute to trilobites by Edward Forbes, a paleontologist from the British Geological Survey back in 1854. Now, trilobites, in case you've forgotten, are ancient cousins of beetles that exist only as fossils today, but hundreds of millions of years ago, they scuttled on the ocean floors and darted through the seas. Richard Forty is a senior paleontologist at the Natural History Museum in London. Like Forbes, he's proud to be a trilobite groupie and writes about his passion in his new book, Trilobite, Eyewitness to Evolution. He told Anne Strangechamps about the thrill of trilobite hunting.
These rocks have been really baked and folded in perhaps 500 million years of geological time. So the fact that anything has survived for that extraordinary length of time seemed to me, and still seems to me, extraordinarily exciting. So you break the rock open, and its parts in your hands, and then entombed inside the rock, and you're the first person ever to have looked upon these things, is something, a strange-looking animal with segments and eyes. But of course there's always the chance that you, when you break that particular piece of rock in your hand, will find something that nobody's ever found before. And in fact, through my career, I've found, more than 100 types of trilobite that have never been known to science, as they say, before.
So are there that many? Are there that many new ones to keep finding?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They were, well, somebody once described them as the beetles of the Paleozoic. Although there's a fantastic variety in beetles, there's even more in trilobites.
They
range from, there are ones which are tiny little things, mature at a millimetre or so, and there are others which were almost a metre long. There were smooth ones, there are ones covered with spines like hedgehogs. There are the most extraordinary variety of things, ones with huge eyes, ones that are blind. And of course they all, in their different ways, tell us about what life was like back in the Paleozoic era.
This is maybe a stupid question, but if they're fossils, how do you know whether their eyes worked or not?
Well, the eyes, and it's practically unique in the animal kingdom, are actually made of rock. They're made of the mineral calcite, which is, you know, familiar to people as limestone, and they're made of crystals. So they used the crystals of the eye to see with. And because crystals preserve rather well as fossils, we can actually literally see through the eyes of the trilobite. We can look through the trilobite eye. We can understand what they saw, for example. We can even, in some cases, take photographs through individual lenses of the trilobite eye. So,
what does the world look like through a trilobite eye?
Well, somewhat like it, or somewhat similar to the way it looks through an insect eye. That is, it's a world in little pieces. And some of the trilobite eyes had, hundreds, thousands of lenses. I mean, one of the worst and most boring jobs I ever did was to try and count them all in a monstrous eye. It took me days. And so they saw the world as a kind of pointillist painting, you know, made out of little dots for the whole picture. And they must have been particularly sensitive to movement, which, of course, is very useful if you're living in the sea and on the lookout for something that might come and eat you.
Can you find trilobites anywhere?
Not anywhere. The rocks have got to be old enough. But having said that, you can find them almost anywhere in the world. They're not rare if you go to the right place. And every continent in the world, somewhere, has trilobites on it.
And can anyone just go find them, or is this something you need some training in? I mean, is it like hunting for dinosaur bones where there aren't very many and it's hard to find them, or could just a weekend day tripper go find a trilobite?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's why, well, it's another reason why I wrote the book. I want to make converts. You can go out for a day outing, and if you go to the right place and hit the rock in the right way, you will find your own trilobite. And you may even find something really exciting.
Well, I think one of the things that's really amazing is that if you do, say, go out and hack at a piece of rock and find a trilobite, you're holding something in your hand that's even older than the dinosaurs, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The dinosaurs weren't a twinkle in evolution's eye at the time of the trilobites.
So how many million years ago are we talking?
Well, back to 540 million years ago, is the oldest trilobite. And they survived and prospered for nearly 300 million years after that. They suffered their extinction just about the time that the reptiles that were going to lead to the dinosaurs were really getting going. So they were, if you like, well, I wanted to call it Thoracic Park, an era prior to the dinosaurs, but in its own way just as interesting and exciting.
So could you paint me a picture of what the world would have looked like then? What would the trilobites have seen?
Well, I've used the trilobites as a way of reconstructing these ancient worlds, because everybody now has heard of continental drift. They're familiar with the idea that continents are on the move. Well, if you go back to the time of the trilobites, even the continents that people know about, Pangaea, you know, and all the continents were united as one. We're going back to a phase before that when the continents were again separated, but in ways different from they are now. And you can actually use the trilobites almost like postage stamps issued by the old continents to reconstruct their form.
And have you discovered anything new?
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, one of my chapters, I say, when my fellow commuters on the train ask me what I've done today, I say, well, I moved India 250 miles to the north. they eye me in a slightly quizzical way, but it's true. We discovered, thanks to trilobites, a vanished ocean. So, yes, I've had the privilege of naming a sea about the size of, well, certainly the size of the Mediterranean and possibly even half the size of the Atlantic.
And he called it the Turnquist Ocean. Richard Forty hunts for trilobites in England, where he's a senior paleontologist at the Natural History Museum in London. His new book is called Trilobite, Eyewitness to Evolution. He talked with Anne Strangechamps.